Lord, thank you for the word of the Lord today. Let it penetrate into our hearts and our minds. Lord, we open up our heart to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're gathered here this morning on the last day of 2017. It's hard to believe today is the last day of the year. Did the year go fast for you? I remember the last day of 2016, we were so excited to get into a new year because 2016 was a tough year for a lot of people, and they were looking forward to 2017, and so here we are again getting ready to go into 2018. And last year we did a fast together, do you remember? In January we did a 40-day fast together. And so I'm going to challenge you not to a 40-day, but to a 21-day this next month, and you can choose the days. But it's important to fast at the beginning of the year and just quiet yourself before the Lord. And get the heart and mind of God for what he's speaking to you about your life. And this first quote that I'm reading for you, I've had in my study notes for a long time. I actually sent it to myself on my BlackBerry. How many of you remember BlackBerries? Did anybody ever use a BlackBerry besides me? Hallelujah. All right. Well, that's, I've had it for a while. But this is what it says. It's a good reminder. This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it or use it for good. What I do today is very important because I am exchanging a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving something in its place I have traded for it. I want it to be gain, not loss, good, not evil, success, not failure, in order that I shall not forget the price I paid for it. So I encourage everyone to take time today and just evaluate how you spent your year in 2017. And then consider the principles I'm going to teach today on how you can be successful in 2018. God has laid out a plan for us if we'll just follow it. And the passages that we are going to read this morning, God was talking to Joshua, and he was getting ready to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And Joshua was entering a new place. They had not been there before. And as we read these passages, we see that God is setting Joshua up to succeed and not to fail. And we're entering a new year of 2018. And so this morning, I want to encourage you that we are going to a place that we have never been before. As a church, we are going into new territory. And God is setting us up to succeed in 2018. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. And this was the word of the Lord to Joshua. And God said to him, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper whatever or wherever you go." We are strong and courageous because God is with us. We like to take that, be strong, be courageous. But we've got to add on to that and understand that we are only strong and courageous if God is with us. We are nothing within ourselves. But with God, we can do all things. And we will prosper when we observe and obey God's commandments. We are blessed because we have the Word of God. We all have Bibles. At the end of this month, we have the Gideons coming to share with us, at the end of January, to share with us some stories about how the Word of God has affected people's lives. And the Word of God is powerful, it's effective. And so we are blessed today because we have God's blueprint. We have His Word to use as a roadmap for our life. We can pick up God's Word and it's our playbook. Amen? Amen? So God's Word is the authoritative standard for every detail of our lives. And in His Word, He's given us information for our life to be successful. The Bible lays out these principles of success. And if we observe them and obey them, we will have success. So how do we do that? You know, people always want to know, how do you do that? Well, I think the next verses answer that. Joshua 1, 8 through 9 says this, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So in verse 8, we see three things that we're to do with the provision that God has given us. First, Joshua is told, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." So we're to have the word of the Lord continually in our mouth. And that is a picture of interaction with the Word of God. It's to be woven into the very fabric of our being and in everything that we do in conversation. And I've learned from experience that there's great power in simply quoting the Scripture. If I'm reading the Bible and my mind begins to wander, have you ever read the Bible and your mind begins to wander? I'm not the only one, right? The best way to bring your mind back to the Word of God is to begin to read the Word aloud. Read it aloud and bring your mind back into agreement with what you are speaking out of your mouth. I also think it's very impactful if you memorize the Word of God. And I encourage you, if you have children, they should be memorizing a verse a week. They should have their memory verse and you work with them on their memory verse. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you have grandchildren, you can work with them. And we need to work with ourselves. Do you remember when the living Logos came? Do you remember the living Logos when they came and did their memorization presentation? Wasn't that powerful to hear the Word of God? Amazing, amazing. And so we're to memorize the Word of God and to keep it hidden in our heart. God said about Levi of old, he was of the priestly tribe. He said the law of truth was in his mouth. That's Malachi 2:6. And so in 1 Peter 2:9, we are called a royal priesthood. So the Word of God needs to be in our mouth. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to take a look at these principles, simple principles to success. Number one, keep God's Word in your mouth. It should be a part of your everyday conversation. And notice that this is to be a continual practice. God commands that the law is not to depart from our mouths. We're to make it our habit of life to speak God's word and to integrate what God has said into our everyday speech. Sometimes when you are using what God is saying to you, scriptures you've memorized, people look at you like you're from Mars. Because it's so foreign to them. They don't understand the Word of God. But if you come to church and said the same thing to a saint, they'd be going, amen. Hallelujah. That's right, sister. You preach it. Keep the word of God in our mouth. This is what Matthew 12, 36 through 37 says. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the judgment day. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I'm challenging us, church, in 2018 to be aware of what we are speaking and what is coming out of our mouths. It is our human nature to be negative and to complain. But it is not God's divine nature to be negative and complain. And so when we shift into that negativity and that complaining about people, about situations, we are speaking word curses over that situation. If you want a situation to change, then you begin to speak life over that situation. We use the word of God to release life. And Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Touch your tongue. There's power right there. Power in the tongue. Life and death. The scripture in James, he said, the tongue is an unruly member. I remember in the sixth grade, I had a Sunday school teacher. Her name was Sister Wiseman, and she taught on the tongue. And Sister Wiseman had pictures of these huge tongues everywhere you looked in her room. And for 1 year, because you stayed in a Sunday school class for 1 year, we learned about the power of the tongue and the importance of watching what you say and what comes out of your mouth. Because by your words, by your very own words, you choose to be justified or you are choosing to be condemned. So you are actually condemning yourself when your words do not line up with the word of God. So I'm challenging the church this year. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable before God. Hallelujah. Let's go on. The second point to be successful is to meditate on God's word. And that's to think about it all the time, to say it over and over again. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, familiar passage, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's not enough just to quote the word of God. God is not looking for a bunch of parrots in his kingdom. You can teach a parrot how to say a scripture. But it's a whole nother thing to meditate on it and to be able to think about it and to study it. So he wants his truth to sink deep down inside our thought processes in a transforming way. Where our minds are transformed, they're renewed by the word of God. And so God told Joshua that he was to meditate on the word day and night. Pastor Vanessa and I were talking this week about our love just to take one verse and to just think about it and study it over and over and over. We may stay on a verse for a month before God moves us on. Because you think about that, you look at it from all different angles, and God shows you how you can use that, how you can apply that into your life. It's a time that deep is calling to deep. Many of you sitting here are mature Christians, and the mature Christians should be encouraging the younger Christians how to do these things. Amen? So thinking about the Word of God. And the word meditate is translated, it means to muse. It means to literally mutter. So have you ever been in the grocery store and you see someone walking around and they're kind of scratching their chin and they're talking to themselves? They're like going over their grocery list that they left at home. Maybe you've done that before. I've gotten to where I just put it on my phone because I usually have my phone with me so I can pull it up and look at it. But that's what the scripture is talking about. It is thinking about it, muttering it, saying it over and over, saying it different ways, emphasizing different words. You know, the Word of God is rich. It's a treasure. And we dig for gold in the Word of God. You got to dig for the gold. God hides it from kings, but He'll show it to you. God wants to show it to us, but it takes some effort. Tell your neighbor, it takes some effort. So God wants us to interact with the scripture, to meditate about it. And it should become a part of our life. Whatever we do in the business world, wherever we go to work, whatever we're doing during the day, the Word of God should be hidden in our hearts. It should be coming out of our mouth, and we should be thinking about it. So then the third thing is apply God's Word in your life. Just three simple principles that God laid out for Joshua to be successful, because He said, I am setting you up to succeed. Be strong, be courageous, just do these things and you'll win the battle. So we obey God's word and we apply it into our situation. And I love this passage in Deuteronomy 6:6-9. And it says, and these words, why don't you read it with me? I love this passage. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So God gave us His word to change our lives. Our lives are changed by the Word of God. Your life was changed when you heard that Jesus Christ died for you and that you could live eternally. That changed you. That changed you. And God's word continues to change us. But we have a responsibility with the Word of God. It has to become a part of everything that we do. God told Joshua to observe to do according to all that is written in it. So as we look at these three points, we can see how God intended for His word to affect our entire being. It affects our mouth, the way we talk. It affects our mind, the way we think, and it affects our manners, the way that we live. And if we will follow God's word and obey His commands, we will be successful and we will prosper. So when we hear the words prosperity and success today, we tend to think of material items. We think of those people, I think of those people who take out hour-long television slots to get you to buy their program on how to change your way of thinking and how to be successful. And their whole focus is on your inner power to become successful and wealthy, because their definition of success is wealth. It's a lot of material items. So all of these are man-centered concepts. and how easily we can become self-centered and think it's all about me. And people who fall for that are self-centered people who are trying to make something special of their lives because they have a need inside of them. And that need is to have God fill that space, because God's success and prosperity is not about being self-centered. It's about being God-centered. It's totally opposite of the world. And what is being taught to us, what we hear on the airwaves, what we see on the television set, God's way is not man's way. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So their success, even if they become successful, leaves them empty and disillusioned because of the inner need that they have. So I would suggest a better idea of what prosperity and success means is a concept of not being self-centered, but being God-centered. You see, God was exhorting Joshua to lead his people to enter into and possess a rich and wonderful land that he was giving to them for an inheritance. And he was promising them that. If they did as he said, he would go with them and cause them to achieve what he was sending them to do. And so based on the context of this passage, I believe that prosperity means entering into the full enjoyment of the blessing God wants to give you and desires for you to enjoy, which may be a little different from the blessing that you're asking him for. Tell your neighbor, Father knows best. The Hebrew word, let me share this with you, for prosperity carries the idea of prudence in its meaning. And what greater and more prudent prosperity can there be than to enjoy the things given to you by the one who knows you thoroughly, loves you infinitely, and longs to shower you with his treasures eternally. So true success, in its fullest meaning, with becoming the person God wants you to be. In the place God wants you to be. And doing the thing God wants you to do. What greater success is there than to fulfill the purpose of the one who made us for himself? And to hear him someday say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. God created us for a divine purpose. And whatever he has asked us to do, River of Life to do, we will succeed at doing it because he sets us up with everything that we need to fulfill his will. If we are simply obedient to the Lord, having our mouths line up with the word of God and the will of God. Having our thoughts line up. Amen. With the word of God. And having our actions line up with it. We've got to practice what we preach. You might like to give counsel to somebody, but are you doing it yourself? So we speak the word, think the word, and obey the word. Speak the word, think the word, live the word. We've got to be people of the word. If you're not on a Bible reading program, I encourage you to get on one. If you don't have a devotional, there's really no excuse. You can get devotionals everywhere. You can get verses sent to you on your phone every day. I mean, we will really stand before God and have no excuse. James 4:13 through 17. This is something that I think that we as Christians have become very laxed in. And possibly I'm saying that because God convicted me. I learned as a teenager, this is how you live your life. James 4:13 through 17 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." And as a child, I was taught that. We always added, "if the Lord wills," when we were talking, when we were planning something, and praying about each thing before you jump into it. Sounds like a great idea. Sounds like a fun vacation. But have you asked God? Sounds like a great job. Good job offer. I'll be making more money. What can be wrong with that? But have you asked God? If the Lord wills, we will do this and that. I'm challenging River of Life to be more mindful of what is the will of the Lord. Ask him before you go out the door. Do you really need to go out to the mall? There might be a shooting at the mall that day. And you're having this desire to go buy something. Well, why do you have that desire to buy something? Is there some other need that you have in your life that you're trying to fill with stuff? We spend a lot of money on stuff to try and satisfy ourselves. Is that true? I think everyone does that. And the same thing with food. We eat a lot of different foods just to make us feel better. You know, people used to pray all the time before they eat. Now people just jump in and start eating. We are to honor God before we eat. If you were in a place where food was not so abundant, you would be praying. You're just praying that that food will fill you up because that's all there is. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So once again, I'm challenging you to a 21-day fast sometime in January. You can pick your days. If you want to fast a few days, take a couple days off. Do whatever you want to do. You don't have to fast completely, but maybe you're going to fast some type of food. And I ask you that it be food. Fast food. Not buy fast food, okay? Oh, but you choose your days. And then in February, we're going to take a new challenge. So we're fasting food in January. And in February, we are fasting complaining. We have bracelets coming that say no complaints. And it will be quite the challenge to go 21 days without complaining. And I was reading the stats on it. Takes a lot of people almost 6 months to make a 21-day span without complaining. Because when you complain, you have to take your bracelet off and put it on the other arm and start all over again. So, this month, it's 21 days of food. Learning to let our mouths line up with God, meditating on His Word, letting our manners and actions be what would be pleasing to God. So see, God's getting us ready in January to take the challenge of 21 days of no complaining. And this is a fun thing to do, especially with family and friends around, because they'll catch you. The girls were all still living at home when we found out the teaching on the creative power of the tongue and how important it was to watch your words. And we had a lot of fun with that. reminding one another, you should not be saying that, you know. And so this is going to be quite the challenge. Hallelujah. But we're going to do it. Are you up for the challenge? You hope so. Now, that was not a very good confession. The Word of God actually says to do everything without complaining. So, we're going to work on it. We'll see how long it takes us, right? Till the whole church has made 21 days. It's like the children of Israel, you know, going through the wilderness. Getting everybody on the same page as they journeyed along, I'm sure was a challenge. But we're going to do it with God's help, right? Don't be afraid. He's with us wherever we go. We're going into new territory. We are taming our tongues. Taming our tongues is our challenge for 2018. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much for the word that's gone forward. Thank you, God, that it goes deep into our hearts, Lord. And Father, you continue to water it, continue to give us revelation, continue to strengthen our River of Life family, our friends and our guests, Lord, continue to draw us closer to you. Lord, that together in 2018, as we enter into this new year, that River of Life will make an impact in people's lives and in our community. Father, I thank you for the plans that you have already laid out for us for this year. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen, amen. And I